Linda? Linda?
Hug me till you drug me, honey. Kiss me till I'm in a coma.
Linda.
Poppy, Poppy. I do so like it.
Linda, don't you know me?
Oh, Poppy, darling, darling, Poppy.
But I'm John. I'm John. I'm your son, John. Do you hear me? John! John! John!
John? But John, everyone belongs to everyone.
Linda, what's wrong? What is it, Linda? What is it?
Oh, my God.
Quick! Quick! You've got to help me!
No.
Quick!
Mr. Savage, don't shout!
Come quickly. Something's happened.
He's crying!
Think of the children, please. You might decondition. Mr. Savage, what are you doing?
You've got to come! Something's happened.
I have killed her. Linda's dead. I've killed my mother.
Mr. Savage, this is outrageous. Think of the mischief you're doing to these innocent children. You're undoing all their death conditioning with this disgusting behavior, really. As if anyone mattered that much.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. What have I done? Oh, God.
Take Mr. Savage, pull yourself together. Can't you behave?
Llena eres de gracia.
El
Señor es contigo.
Who wants a chocolate eclair?
Bendita seas entre todas las mujeres. Y bendito el fruto de tu vientre, Jesús. Santa María, Madre de Dios, ruega por nosotros los pecadores, ahora y en la hora de nuestra muerte. Amén.
Well, he's not in his rooms. Where can he have got to?
No, I've no idea. It's a bit annoying. I thought we might all nip across to Biarritz, have a spot of dinner.
Oh, and your new sporty copter?
Yes. Yeah, we'll be late if he doesn't come soon. Look, we'll give him 5 more minutes. If he doesn't turn out by then, we'll just have to... Hello, Helmholtz speaking.
Lord almighty!
What is it?
Wait. Yes? Yes? Oh, Ford. I don't believe it.
Helmholtz?
Of course. Yes. No, I'll come at once.
What is it?
That was a fellow I know at the Park Lane Hospital. John's there.
What?
He seems to have gone mad. He's had some sort of brainstorm in the hospital foyer. They're giving out the day's Soma rations to the Deltas, and he's trying to incite them to riot. Bernard, this is urgent.
No shoving, please. I shall stop the distribution unless I have good behavior.
Don't listen to him. Don't take that horrible stuff. It's poison. It's poison. Oh, brave new world. How many goodly creatures are there here? How beauteous mankind is.
Look, let me get on with my distribution, won't you? Now, there's a good fellow. Just let...
No! Listen. Listen, I beg you. Lend me your ears. Throw it all away, that horrible poison. Poison to the soul as well as the body. Throw it away. I come to bring you freedom. Bernard, Helmholtz, come with me. Yes, my friends, I come to bring you freedom. Do you like being slaves? Do you like being babies? Yes, babies, mewling and puking. Yes, puking. Don't you want to be free and men? Don't you even understand what manhood and freedom are? Come up here with me, Bernard.
He's mad. He's gone quite mad.
I'll teach you. I'll make you free whether you want to or not.
Oh, Ford! He's throwing the soma boxes out of the window. They'll kill him.
him.
No. Bernard, we've got to. Come on.
What? Helmholtz will be killed.
Freedom! Freedom! Come with me.
I'm here, John. John, I'm here.
It's the police.
Help! Help!
They'll be killed if you don't hurry.
My friends, what is the meaning of this? Why aren't you all being happy and good together? Happy and good. At peace. Oh, I do want you to be happy. I do so want you to be good. Please be good, my dearest friends. And Ford keep you. Ford bless you and keep you.
Ford bless you and keep you.
Well, Mr. Savage, will you come quietly, or must we unleash the terror?
Bless you and keep you.
Oh, I'll come quietly.
So, Mr. Savage, you don't much like civilization?
No, I don't.
John!
Of course, there are some very nice things. All that music in the air, for instance.
Sometimes a thousand twangling instruments will hum about mine ears, and sometimes
have
voices...
Have you read Shakespeare, too? I thought nobody knew about that.
Almost nobody. It's prohibited, you see, but as I make the laws here, I can also break them. With impunity, Mr. Marks, which I'm afraid you can't do.
Yes, but why is it prohibited?
Because it's old. That's the chief reason. We haven't any use for old things here.
Even when they're beautiful?
Particularly when they're beautiful. Beauty is attractive, and we don't want people to be attracted by old things. We want them to like the new ones. The world is stable now. People are happy. They get what they want, and they never want what they can't get. They're so conditioned that they practically can't help behaving as they ought to behave. And if anything should go wrong, there's Soma. Which you go and chuck out of the window in the name of liberty, Mr. Savage. Liberty. Expecting deltas to know what liberty is.
Well, take those feelies, for instance. They're so stupid and horrible. They don't mean anything. Not like Othello.
They mean themselves. They mean a lot of agreeable sensations to the audience.
But they're stupid. They're told by an idiot.
Well, you're not being very polite to our friend Helmholtz here, one of our most distinguished emotional engineers.
No, John's right. It is idiotic. Writing when there's nothing to say.
Precisely. But that requires the most enormous ingenuity. Works of art out of practically nothing but pure sensation.
It all seems to me quite horrible.
Of course it does. But that's the price we have to pay for stability. Being contented has none of the glamour of a good fight against misfortune, none of the picturesqueness of a struggle with temptation or a fatal overthrow by passion or doubt. Happiness is never grand, Mr. Savage.
I suppose not. But need it be as bad as those twins? Horrible.
Ah, I see you don't like our Bokanovsky groups. Well, I assure you, they're the foundation on which everything else is built.
Frankly, I was wondering why I have them at all, those deltas and epsilons. Seeing that you can get whatever you want out of those bottles, why don't you make everybody an alpha while you're about it?
Because we have no wish to have our throats cut. A society of alphas couldn't fail to be unstable and miserable. It's an absurdity. An alpha-decanted, alpha-conditioned man would go mad if he had to do epsilon semi-moron work. Go mad. Or start smashing things up. Alphas can be completely socialized, but only on condition that you make them do alpha work. Isn't that so, Mr. Marx?
Yes, sir.
The optimum population, you see, is modeled on the iceberg. 8/9 below the waterline, 1/9 above.
And they're happy below the waterline?
Happier than above it. Happier than your friends here, for example.
In spite of all that awful work?
Awful? They don't find it so. On the contrary, they like it. No strain on the mind or the muscles. 7.5 hours of mild, unexhausting labor. and then the Soma ration, and games, and unrestricted copulation, and the feelies. What more can they ask for? True, they might ask for shorter hours. The Inventions Office is stuffed with plans for labor-saving processes, thousands of them. But we don't want to change. Every change is a menace to stability. Every discovery is potentially subversive. Even science must sometimes be treated as a possible enemy.
What? But we're always saying that science is everything. It's a hypnopedic platitude.
And all the science propaganda we do at college.
Yes, but what sort of science? Our science is just a cookery book with a list of recipes that mustn't be added to except by special permission from the head cook. Well, I'm the head cook now. But I was an inquisitive young scullion once. I started doing a bit of cooking on my own. Unorthodox cooking. Illicit cooking. A bit of real science, in fact.
What happened?
Very nearly what's going to happen to you, young man. I was on the point of being sent to an island.
You can't send me. I haven't done nothing. Oh, please, don't send me to Iceland. Give me another chance. Please, please give me another chance. Oh, please, your fortune, please. Not to Iceland.
Yes, Controller?
Bring three men and take Mr. Marks into a bedroom, give him a good soma vaporization, and then put him to bed and leave him.
No, please. Not Iceland, no. No, you can't. It's not fair.
One would think he was going to have his throat cut. Whereas, if he had the slightest sense, he'd understand that his punishment is really a reward. He's being sent to an island. That's to say, he's being sent to a place where he'll meet the most interesting set of men and women to be found anywhere in the world. I almost envy you, Mr. Helmholtz.
Then why aren't you on an island yourself?
Well, because, finally, I chose this and let the science go. And sometimes I rather regret the science. Happiness is a hard master, particularly other people's happiness. But it's universal happiness that keeps the wheels steadily turning. Truth and beauty can't. People used to talk about truth and beauty as though they were the sovereign goods, right up to the time of the 9 Years' War. That made them change their tune. Yes. After the 9 Years' War, people were ready to have even their appetites controlled. Anything for a quiet life. And we've gone on controlling ever since. It hasn't been very good for truth, of course. But one can't have something for nothing. Happiness has got to be paid for, and that's how I pay. By the way, Helmholtz, would you like a tropical climate? The Marquesas, for example, or Samoa, or something rather more bracing?
No, I should like a thoroughly bad climate. I believe one would write better if the climate were bad, if there were a lot of wind and storms, for example.
I like your spirit, Helmholtz. I like it very much indeed. What about the Falkland Islands?
Yes, I think that will do.
Good. Now, if you don't mind, perhaps you would run along and see how poor Mr. Marks is getting on.
Yes. Mm.
So, art, science. You seem to have paid a fairly high price for your happiness. Anything else?
Well, religion, of course. There used to be something called God. Before the 9 Years' War. But I was forgetting. You know all about God, I suppose. Let me show you something. Yes. It's a subject that has always had a great interest for me. You've never read this, for example.
The Holy Bible, containing the Old and New Testaments.
Nor this.
The Imitation of Christ.
Nor this.
The Varieties of Religious Experience by William James.
And I've got plenty more. A whole collection of pornographical books.
But if you know about God, why don't you tell them? Why don't you give them these books about God?
Because they're old. They're about God, hundreds of years ago, not about God now.
But God doesn't change.
Men do, though. Take this book, for example, by a philosopher, if you know what that was.
Yes. A man who dreams of fewer things than there are in heaven and earth.
Quite so. I'll read you one of the things he did dream of. They say that it is the fear of death and of what comes after death that makes men turn to religion as they advance in years. But my own experience has given me the conviction that we turn to God because we feel the need to lean on something that abides, something that will never play us false, a reality, an absolute and everlasting truth. Yes, we inevitably turn to God, for this religious sentiment is of its nature so pure, so delightful to the soul that experiences it, that it makes up to us for all our other losses. Well, my dear friend, one of the numerous things in heaven and earth that these philosophers didn't dream about was this. Us. The modern world. The religious sentiment will compensate us for all our losses. But there aren't any losses for us to compensate. And what need have we of consolation when we have Soma?
Then you think there is no God?
No, I think there probably is one. But God isn't compatible with machinery and scientific medicine and universal happiness. That's why I have to keep these books locked up in the safe. People would be shocked
but
if...
But isn't it natural to feel there is a God?
Natural? My dear sir, one believes things because one has been conditioned to believe them.
All the same, it is natural to believe in God. When you're alone, quite alone in the night, thinking about death.
But people are never alone now. We make them hate solitude, and we arrange their lives so that it's almost impossible for them ever to have it.
Do you remember that bit in King Lear? The gods are just, and of our pleasant vices make instruments to plague us. Doesn't there seem to be a God managing these things, punishing, rewarding?
Well, does there? Providence takes its cue from man.
Are you sure? The gods are just. Haven't they used his pleasant vices as an instrument to degrade him?
Degrade him? From what? As a happy, hard-working, goods-consuming citizen, he's perfect.
But if you allowed yourself to think of God, you'd have a reason for bearing things patiently, for doing things with courage.
But there isn't any need for a civilized man to bear anything that's seriously unpleasant. And as for doing things, Ford forbid that he should get the idea into his head. It would upset the entire social order.
What about self-denial, then?
Industrial civilization is only possible when there's no self-denial. Self-indulgence up to the very limits imposed by hygiene and economics, otherwise the wheels stop turning.
You'd have a reason for chastity.
Chastity means passion. Chastity means neurasthenia. And passion and neurasthenia mean instability, and instability means the end of civilization.
But God's the reason for everything fine and noble and heroic. If you had a God...
My dear young friend, civilization has absolutely no need of nobility or heroism. Where there are wars, where there are temptations to be resisted, objects of love to be fought for or defended, there, obviously, nobility and heroism have some sense. But there aren't any wars nowadays, and the greatest care is taken to prevent you from loving anyone too much. There really aren't any temptations to resist either. And if ever by some unlucky chance anything unpleasant should happen, why, there's always Soma to to give you a holiday from the facts, to reconcile you to your enemies, to make you patient and long-suffering. Anybody can be virtuous now. You can carry at least half your morality about in a bottle. Christianity without tears. That's what Soma is.
What you need is something with tears for a change. Nothing costs enough here.
We prefer to do things comfortably.
But I don't want comfort. I want God. I want poetry. I want danger. I want freedom. I want goodness. I want sin.
In fact, you're claiming the right to be unhappy.
Yes! I'm claiming the right to be unhappy.
Not to mention the right to grow old and ugly and impotent. The right to have syphilis and cancer. The right to have too little to eat. The right to be lousy. The right to live in constant apprehension of what may happen tomorrow. The right to catch typhoid. The right to be tortured by unspeakable pains of every kind.
I claim them all.
Attention, attention. The 1227 flight for Falklands Port Stanley, calling at Ascension, is now preparing for takeoff. Will all passengers from the 1227 Port Stanley flight please make their way to the heliport lounge on level 6.
Well, I suppose this is goodbye. Yes. Yes, I suppose it is. You know, the Savage went to see the controller again.
Oh? What for?
To ask if he mightn't go to an island with us.
Really? And what did the controller say?
He wouldn't let him. He said he wanted to go on with the experiment.
Oh, so John's still in London?
No. He's gone.
Where?
I've no idea. Disappeared. He bought a few things before leaving, though. Rope, string, nails, matches. Oh, yes, some pots and pans, 2 dozen packets of seeds, and 10 kilograms of wheat flour.
I don't believe it. What on earth can he be doing?
Hug me till you drag me, honey. Kiss me till I'm in a coma. Hug me, honey, snuggly bunny. Love's as good as Soma.
Hello?
Lenina, quickly switch on the radio.
Fanny, I'm having Henry Forster. He'll be here any moment.
Do as I say, Lenina. Switch it on now.
Oh, if you insist.
At an old air lighthouse midway between Putnam and Elstead, where 3 Delta Minus land workers witnessed a truly astonishing spectacle. A young man was standing outside the abandoned lighthouse, stripped to the waist and hitting himself with a whip of knotted cords. A special report now from Primo Mellon.
His back was streaked with blood.
Streaked with blood.
We pulled up at the side of the road, and we just stared.
Just stared.
We counted the strokes. After the 8th, he ran to the edge of the wood, and he was very sick.
Very sick.
When it finished, he picked up the whip and began hitting himself again.
9, 10, 11, 12.
Well, that was the extraordinary sight witnessed by those 3 land workers. And I'm coming to you live now from the old lighthouse at Elstead. Just a few words, Mr. Savage. Just tell our listeners why you came here. What made you leave London so very suddenly? And that whip. We're all crazy to know about that whip. Something about civilization? What I think of the civilized girl. Just a few words. A very few.
Strumpet! Strumpet! Impudent strumpet! Oh, God forgive me. I'm bad. I'm wicked.
Oh, John.
Strumpet!
Lenina, why didn't you answer the door?
Oh, Henry. Henry, it's the Savage. It's terrible. It's because of me, Henry. You've got to take me to him.
Well, of course. We're all going. Absolutely everyone. It's better than a feely, that whip and everything.
Oh.
It's almost as good as the sperm whale's love life. Oh. By Ford, that sails,
Henry,
hasn't it?
Please.
Lenina, calm down. Have half a gram. Oh.
Go away! Leave me alone!
What about the whip? Oh, yes. Yes.
Go away, do you hear? By God, I'll give you the whip! Why don't you leave me alone? What do you want with me? What is it you want?
Mother and Sky Father, for Ayuta and Masalima, for Jesus and Pukong. I must hurry. Hurry before the sun rises. Fasten the rope. For Our Lady of Akoma, for the great eagle. I must hurry. The window. Yes. The window for the sun. For the rising sun, for the first rays. Yes, must hurry now, must hurry. For the sun, eyes, look your last.
That's as much as I know, your lordship.
And where is he now?
Well, he must have come back here, to the lighthouse.
Savage!
Mr. Savage! I don't think it's locked, sir. Mr. Savage?
Savage! Where are you?
Oh, Ford! Oh, Ford Almighty!
Brave New World by Aldous Huxley. Gary Cady was the Savage. Jack Claff was Mustafa Mond. Moya Leslie was Lenina Crown. Jonathan Tafler was Bernard Marks. And Francis de la Tour was Linda. Sean Pertwee was Helmholtz Watson. Hugh Dixon was the director of Hatcheries. Nigel Carrington was Henry Forster. Jane Wittenshaw was Fanny Crown. Susan Sheridan was the president of worship. Andrew Wincott was Benito Hoover. Petra Markham was the headmistress of Eton. Timothy Carlton was the arch songster of Canterbury. Mark Straker was Primo Mellon. Joanna Myers was the nurse. Richard Pierce was the boy. And Walter Acosta was the Spanish guide. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Brave New World was dramatized from Aldous Huxley's novel by Stephen Mulryan. The music was composed and performed by Wilfredo Acosta. Technical presentation was by Roger Daines, Wilfredo Acosta, and Keith Graham. The director was Marilyn Imrie.